prayer together. And we pray that as we would open thy word and read from it, that thou wouldst bless it. Be with us in Jesus' name. So that for this morning's service, I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 1. So in Luke chapter 1, we have that Mary is told, Mary is told that she's going to be with child. And as we read the account, and I do want to read the account, yet once again, you know, it's often wondered as she says, "Behold, be it unto me according to thy will." What did she know, right? What, as she was approached by the angel, what did she know? I'm going to call for the special number to see if I can get rid of this cough. Excuse me. So, what did she know? We're going to read down through, but I want to read verse 50. Four. 55. Where Mary says, as he spake to her fathers and Abraham, do a seed forever. So here she states that, starting in verse 46, she's going to talk about her soul being lifted up, her soul rejoicing. And she ends it with, as he spake to her father. So, what did Mary know, right? As he spake to her father, she knew scripture. If we remember when Jesus turned 12, they found him in the temple. He was lost in Jerusalem, but they found him in the temple. And what was he doing? He was with the teachers and asking questions back and forth. When he was 30-ish, right, as he's starting his ministry, and he goes back to Nazareth in his little town. And as it was custom, they handed him the book, and he opened up to Isaiah and read. So the scriptures were there. It wasn't like we can just go onto our phones. It wasn't like we can just open it up in our Bible. But she had the word hidden in her heart. So as we listen to the song, Mary, Did You Know?, I want you to think about this, and then hopefully we can continue on with the rest of the service. So I'll start in verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And so let's just stop there. Here Elizabeth is making it very clear that the prophecies that have come, that have been for hundreds of years, were plain, that they knew them. And they really didn't have the scripture as we had it. They had to go to the temple. They had to share them, right? They didn't have the ability that we have. They just browse on our phones and pick them up. But they were hidden in their heart. And so when Elizabeth heard some 6 months before that she was going to bear John and Zacharias, they can go back to the scriptures and see that this was the start of something big. This was the start of a Savior that they were expecting to come. And then here where Mary came, it was the start of something big. And Mary's response to Elizabeth says in verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord." You know, in her mind, you know, let's go back a little bit, right? It's been a few days. As she had the revelation from the angel that she was going to be with child, supernaturally, you know, the verse in Isaiah that we read today, right? The verse in Isaiah that says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel." I'm sure her mind went to that verse and said, "This is it. This is the start. This is where our salvation comes from. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." That was her next word, right? "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." She knew that even though she refused to be the mother of Jesus, that she needed a Savior. And that he was going to be born through her. And in her situation where, you know, she could have, you know, she was poor. She was pregnant out of wedlock, so to speak. She was apt to be stoned to death because that was the penalty for adultery. Her focus was not on any of that. When she went to the hill country, which was some 80, 100 miles away, is like going out to Temecula, walking, right? Walking. And she says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaid. And for behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed." This is what her focus was on. Her focus was on not the looking down upon her by all of the peers, but the blessing that she has been chosen to carry the Son of God. She focused on those good things. She rejoiced in those good things. "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." Once again, what was her focus? Her focus was the good things that have been. Oh, we had Lori's brother over for the funeral that was just passed, and he told the story about the farmer who was in the village, and he had lost his horse. And the neighbor said, "Oh, what an unfortunate thing, you've lost your horse." He goes, "Well, maybe." And then the next day, the horse comes back with 20 more horses with it. "Oh, what good fortune you have." "Maybe." And then the next day, the son's riding on one of the stallions and falls off and breaks his leg. Oh, and the neighbors say, "What? How unfortunate you are. Your son has broken your leg." He says, "Maybe." Then the next day, there's the war that's starting, and the army comes. They're drafting all the young men. But his son is spared because his leg is broken. "Oh, what a fortunate person you are, because your son has a broken leg," right? And you get the idea. How we look at things in our life can really affect our demeanor, our purpose. And we have to understand that Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good for those who love God, right? We have to keep in mind that blessing. And this is what Mary was focusing on, that God cares for me. Great things come from great hands. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. His mercy is on them who fear him. And if we can turn to Acts 10, just briefly, to read about them who fear him. Acts 10, there was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed all the way to God. And when he looked on him, and he saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day, the angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. So this thought of his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Here is Cornelius, a Gentile. And because his heart was toward God, God was looking out for him and was answering his prayers. And here Mary is, once again, the scriptures, all she had was the Old Testament. All she had was the Torah. And the mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Psalms 103:17 also talks about that same phrase, right? His mercy is on them that fear him. And that God is in control. And this is her focus. She's rejoicing at her predicament. You might call it a predicament. You might call it an unfortunate thing for her. But she's not looking at it that way. She's looking at it that the Savior of the world has come. Now is the time. They've been waiting for so long. He has showed his strength. He has showed the strength with a strong arm. He has scattered the proud in their imagination. And you're talking about strength and strong. The other day it was time to do some touch-up paint in the house. And we keep our touch-up paint in little glass jars, right? Little old pickle jars or whatever they are. And I went to open it up, and it was untight. So I got my special strap that I can clamp down and try to open the jar. It wasn't coming off. You know, it's not often that I can't open a lid, right? But, yeah, I don't know if I'm getting older. That lid just was untight, and I think it was just untight. The paint had gotten around there. So I took a torch, a little micro torch, right? I heated up the rim. Very carefully, I don't want to break the glass, but slowly I went around, and slowly that paint kind of got soft, and it came off, right? So when you think of strength, it's not just strength that we think of as strong, right? It's maybe wisdom, but when you think of God, his strength is manifold. One is he speaks the world into existence. He speaks the universe into creation. There's strength there. At the end of time, through his word, Satan and his foes are defeated just by a word. When we think about the incarnation, right? Mary, she lives in Nazareth. This is a little backwater, 6 miles from the nearest road. They don't have any rivers. They have a well that's not too good there in the village. Not much is known about Nazareth, but it's not a big place. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That's what they thought of when they thought of Nazareth, right? And so how do you get a woman who is due to have a baby to travel days to Jerusalem? How do you do that? Because it was prophesied that Christ, even though he would be from Nazareth, is born in Jerusalem. And when you think about the strength of God and his ability, that it just so happens that there was a falling out between Herod and Caesar Augustus. And Caesar Augustus wanted to tax his region. And so the call went out to have a census. And it was urgent that everybody should come. And so a couple things were accomplished, right? Number one, Mary had to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem, right? It was it Herod's free will that there should be a census, you know, between Herod and Augustus? Sure it was. But what was really being accomplished was that Mary traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem at a very inconvenient time. It also was amazing that a census was established, firmly establishing the genealogy of Mary and Joseph for all to see that truly he was of the line of David from both sides of the family, it turns out. In Proverbs 21:1, it says that God turns kings' hearts like rivers. And when you think about that, you know, he doesn't have to guide every drop. He just kind of establishes the banks and the rivers flow. And when we think about the strength that God has, when we think about how he notices us, you know, the other day, well, actually, it's been quite a few days, yeah, months, maybe a year ago, our oven wasn't working too well. Taking a long time to cook. And you can hear it. How can you hear that oven's not cooking well? Well, you know, we have a gas stove, and there's something called a safety valve, and when the igniter is weak, that safety valve doesn't open well. And when it doesn't open well, it kind of flutters. So you can hear this little fluttering. To most people, it's so soft, it's so quiet, you don't even think about it, right? But because I've seen this a couple times, it's like my ear is attuned to this. And sometimes when I'm visiting people's houses, I can hear their safety valve is a little weak and they're probably taking too long to cook their food. But that's something that I'm attuned to, right? Or maybe an appliance man would be attuned to. God, his eyes run to and fro throughout all the world, seeking whom he can help out. The verses in 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. So Mary knows this. She knows these verses, and she says he's strong and he's able to turn kings' hearts like rivers. And going back to the political situation back then, you know, there was no love lost between Herod and Augustus, and the kingdom on the other side of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was just in a bad spot between two kingdoms, right? And at any time there can be a political turmoil. And even though Mary was in the midst of all of that, right? Just like we're in the midst of all that, she knew that God was in control. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He filled the hungry with good things, the rich that he sent away empty. And this is just another picture of, you know, she wasn't trusting in herself to rise up and to do something. I know a lot of times when we think of the things that are happening in our day and age, we would love to see justice done or truth to come out and persevere. And for whatever reason, it doesn't seem like it's going our way. But Mary knew that it's not in what we can do. It's not in political power. It's not in rulers. But in her speech that she had, it's that God is in control of all the thing. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Yeah, I think I've shared this story before, but many years ago at Pine Valley, I had an old Toyota Land Cruiser, and it was free time, and I forget who it was, maybe Steve Igich and myself and another brother. We had just kind of gone off to look at some of the abandoned mines in the area off-road, and coming back, it was time to get back for dinner, it was time to get back for choir, and there was this pile of rocks, and I don't know why I chose to drive over this pile of rocks, but drove up this pile of rocks, and it was stuck. My flywheel was grinding on the rocks. It was like stuck in the middle. And this is a 2-ton truck. It's 4,000 pounds, and there are three of us, right? So that's 1,200 pounds a piece to lift it off, and we're stuck. Then all of a sudden, two mountain bikers appear. They're just coming through. Oh, they're going to help us. Well, that's great. You know, where did they come from? I don't know. They're just riding down the hill. They help us. Now, if you do the math, that's 800 pounds a piece, and there's no way that's really going to help. But somehow, oh, it just popped right off the rock. And, you know, we kind of got in the truck, and I turned around to say thank you. They were gone. And I just remember thinking, how is it possible? I mean, I know they had bikes, but I can see, you know, all the way down the road, I didn't see them. You know, it's amazing how God helps us, whether supernaturally or not, whether he turns the river's bank so that the water flows the way he wants it to flow or not. But Mary knew that God is in control and that he was helping Israel. It was time. As he spake to our fathers, as he spake, once again, she knew Scripture. Scripture was in her heart. And it goes on to say, and Mary abode with her, with Elizabeth, about 3 months, and then she returned to her house. So, as we think about this Christmas season, as we think about Christ, we are singing Joy to the World, the Lord has come. This was for the Christmas program. Joy to the World, the Lord has come. And really, it's not a Christmas song. It's really talking about the second coming, when Christ has returned. And that's why there's joy to the world. And that's what we really look forward to. But in the meantime, what we can learn from Mary's response is that, and no matter what circumstances we're in, God regards us. His eyes are searching for those who love him, going to and fro. He's already done great things for us. He shows us mercy because if we were to receive all the punishment that we should have received, right? I think of all the things that I did when I was a kid that I got away with somehow, right? And maybe I think it was because my parents didn't know, or maybe they just had mercy on me. And then I think about my kids, and I think my parents probably had mercy on me because they know more than I think they did. God demonstrates strength on our behalf. And he satisfies those needs that we have, and he helps us. All these things are what we should focus on. All these things help our life. You know, Brother Alex, as he was teaching the Bible class this morning, you know, there's this struggle that we have on, you know, we're talking about the king Asa, right? Asa? Ahaz. Thank you, Ahaz. And you think how, it's just a bad situation. How can this be good? You know, it was a bad situation there. But Mary saw the good. So may we all have that focus. May we all have God's word hidden in our heart so that we can know and we can trust and that we can behave ourselves wisely in a way so that people that would see us, they would know the joy that we have, even though it is in tough situations, right? They would know that the joy and the peace that's in us, the lack of struggle, is because we do believe that there is a God who loves us and cares for us and who's going to take care of all things. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even though we're going into the fire, even if we were to die today, we know that we're going to be okay. May God bless his word in this day.